See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the superfan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
The ice is gonna break.
Not as always.
Not as
he
always.
That's right. Last
yeah,
week.
That's right. Yeah. Last time we didn't have Mark with us, so we had to get Joe and I had to soldier on alone.
Infrequently.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, I really enjoy listening to the CineScare podcast when I'm not on there because I just get to enjoy the podcast without cringing when I talk. So it's nice to hear Matt and Joe just talk without me interrupting, and it's actually really, really enjoyable listening to.
Joe?
I couldn't agree more.
I saw a smart alecky look. You had an Eddie Haskell look.
There's
on your
so
face.
Many things floating around in my head. I couldn't pick one fast there enough.
It was one of those where the opening was too big, and you just was I don't know which one to go with. Yeah.
Joe nailed it on the head. It's like Mark has a specific thought. This is what Joe said last episode. Mark has a specific thought. He's not listening to us. He just wants to ram it in there. And you know what? I was going, oh my God, I think that's true. I think he's absolutely right. So I'm going to really try to be on my best behavior this episode.
That's boring.
We don't want you on your best behavior. We just don't want you talking over us.
I'm going to try not to.
Where's the wah wah? Oh, here we go.
It's on the left.
I wish there was one that was just wah wah, though. That would be good.
Wah, wah.
I could just do that.
Yeah. You guys been waiting for this.
I forgot been, about that one.
It's like actually, 4 weeks.
We had to go a whole episode and but, couldn't do
well,
that.
That was the baby. I haven't done the baby crying in a long time. It was normally it's the babble.
The baby one, talk. But, yeah, baby that's talk, one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to get rammed tonight because it's been like 4 weeks since you guys made fun of me. So.
And ding. I wish I had a ding sound. There's our
bumper.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to get rammed.
I'm going to get rammed tonight. Yeah.
Yep. Here we go.
It's like shooting fat people in a barrel.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Joe. What did you watch recently?
Your boy.
Well, Brian, friend of the show, Brian, let me tell you, the last time we met would have been, I don't know, around the 22nd. Of October,
right?
Which means anything that I have down from the 23rd on is new found material.
Business, yeah.
So one of the things, because we have to finish off what we watch for Shocktober. So right. One of my most favorite ones, which I'm sure is going to be in my top 10 this year, was Mads on Shudder.
100%.
Did we talk about that?
No, we watched it after that last episode.
Okay, Mads is phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh wait.
If you
no, we did talk about it. I'm sorry. Yeah, we talked about Mads. Duh. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then you already know how I feel about it.
Incredible movie. Yeah, incredible.
I watched The Woman of the Hour with Anna Kendrick.
I did too.
I watched Maxine, which I also like to call Scream 3. Did not like it.
You talked about that before.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because then we watched Never Hike Alone 2.
Right, but that was, yeah, right, right.
You talked about it last episode.
Yes, so, well, Mark would know since he listened. Yeah. So I watched Trap, the M. Night Shyamalan film.
I did too.
And it wasn't great, but it wasn't as terrible as I thought it was going to be.
I gave it three cuts.
Yeah, if you got time to kill, go ahead and watch that. Yeah. I did see yay, clapping, top 10 movie of mine, Smile 2. Fucking awesome.
Great. Great
movie. I loved Smile 2. It's such a shame that Mark hated the original.
Yeah. I didn't hate the original.
So anyway, I'm going to keep moving on. Yeah, this thing was great from the beginning to the end, and the end is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It didn't end like I thought it was going to end, and I was thrilled about that. So it's a shame Mark doesn't like that movie.
Yeah, I know. It's he was so down on that series.
Yeah, yeah. I did some old stuff. I watched The Thing. I watched Halloween 3. I watched Halloween 2. Yeah. I did not watch Halloween 1. I watched Daddy's Head. It was not really for me. It was okay. I like the jump scares, but
I liked it's it, not. But it's not.
It's nowhere it near my down. Top 10 material. Yeah.
Yeah, it won't be in my top 10, but I did like it.
Yeah, and then I watched, you know, a couple things for this episode. So other than that, I also just finished tonight the entire series of Agatha All Along on Disney Plus. Not bad. Yeah, kind of liked it. So, yeah, worth your time.
Excellent. Well,
that's honestly, that wraps it up for me. Good night, everybody.
I guess we haven't seen you since, gosh, was it? Were we in October the last time you were on? I think we were. It was the first episode. So I guess you've got a lot if you've watched a lot.
Well, I did watch Smile 2. I like this film. I didn't hate the original. I think Joe is remembering that I hated the promo for Smile and how they revealed like the biggest jump scare of the film. And I was ranting and raving how bad they just ruined that jump scare, and they should have saved it for, you know, the first viewing. Smile 2, I liked the film better than the first because of Naomi Scott. I have no idea who this actress is, but she is mesmerizing. And she's 100% beautiful. And I guess she was in the latest Power Rangers film. And
sorry.
And she was Jasmine in Aladdin, I think, if I'm
in the correct. Live action.
In the live action, yeah. Hmm. And but I was really impressed by her acting. I mean, she definitely like went all into this film. I thought the jump scares were decent. Not a bad film. I thought it was better than the original. And Jack Nicholson's son's in it, and. Hmm. What a carbon copy. Oh my gosh. I mean, he looks like Jack, and you know, good luck to him, you know, getting out from underneath, you know, the shadow of Jack Nicholson. But I mean, God, carbon image.
Yeah. I'd like to see him do something.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking when I saw him, I didn't even know his son was even an actor, but I would have loved to see him in Dr. Sleep, but he might have been too young for it. And, you know, Henry Thomas was good, you know, playing Jack Nicholson in Dr. Sleep. But that would have been amazing if his son did that role. I thought that would have been great. I mean, just spitting image, especially with that smile. I'd like to talk about Terrifier 3 because I wasn't able to last episode. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it. It's a perfect fast food horror film. I don't know if I enjoyed it more than Terrifier 2, but I think the kills were a lot more fun in Terrifier 3. The shower scene was absolutely phenomenal. I could not get over it. I watched it with friend of the show, Brian. Little tidbit on friend of the show, Brian. When at the end of the film, you know, between Art the Clown, the chainsaw's on the ground and our heroine's face is right next to it. I hear from the left, hearing Brian going, "Do it." And I just look over and he doesn't notice me looking over and he just goes, "Do it." He says it again. He's a psychopath. it was a lot of fun watching this film. I think that Victoria in this film was a lot scarier than even Art the Clown was at some points. And I would love to see a spinoff with Victoria. Victoria, you know, with the mangled face and, you know, from the first Terrifier. I want to see more of her. Hopefully she's not done with this franchise because she was absolutely brilliant in this film. And I absolutely loved it. And also, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is a kill with a rat and a tube. Have you guys ever read American Psycho?
No.
No, but I have seen the movie.
Okay, well, I believe I read this a long time ago, but I believe there is a tube with a rat, but with a different orifice, like hole, that Bateman did. And it's...
Are you confusing this with Richard Gere?
With the gerbil? No. No, no. But I believe in the novel, if I remember correctly, there's a tube with the rat and something happens, kind of like what happens in Terrifier 3, which is absolutely like terrifying. But I was like, I wonder if he got that from the novel. But if he did, it's like chef's kiss. That was a great kill. Great kill. But I love Terrifier 3. Fast food, horror. I mean, it's kind of like the new slasher, like going over the top. I mean, the blood, God, that shower scene was amazing. Other than that, I just watched. I did complete my Shocktober. I didn't write down really what I watched. I watched Oddity again because I just had to, because it's just such a brilliant film. I watched a lot of Nightmare on Elm Street. So I watched 1 through 4. But I haven't watched like the recent, so I'm going to do like a full push for top 10 coming up. But Terrifier 3 and Smile 2, great. Fantastic. I really, really enjoyed Smile 2, especially just like her going mad and not knowing what's real and what's not. I thought it was really enjoyable. And that's all I got.
Awesome.
How about you, Matt?
I watched Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, as I do every year. Trick or Treat, of course, is another yearly tradition during Shocktober. Absolutely love that movie. Michelle and I watched Woman of the Hour. I'm not sure I'd call it horror necessarily, but it's good. It's good. It was entertaining. It's based on a true story and everything. And I thought it was pretty good. If you're especially into true crime or whatever, I think you'll like it. Halloween 2. Great movie.
Which
Smile
one?
2. The only good Halloween 2.
Got it.
Smile 2. Which I agree with you guys was fantastic. Some terrific jump scares once again. And I liked this one better than the first. I thought it was overall just through and through a better movie. I didn't love the final act of part one. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. I thought it was a little, a little anticlimactic. You know, they just go to that house and it didn't, I don't think the final act of it wasn't terrible, but it didn't completely work. And it certainly, I don't think it lived up to what came before it. Whereas this, I thought this went balls to the wall. There were some parts of it that kind of reminded me of The Substance a little bit at the end there. And it's a really solid, solid sequel. So I highly recommend that. And I don't know that it'll be in my top 10, but it could be up there. Again, I've also been continuing to watch From, and that show is, I recommend it to anybody who wants to watch a horror TV show. It's pretty good stuff. Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. I watched that on the 29th. And Joe, I will never now, before we did that Halloween episode, I hadn't watched Halloween 5 was definitely not one of my favorite ones, so it wasn't like one that I watched all the time, but I had seen it plenty of times because I usually, you know, do some sort of mini marathon of Halloween movies during October. And I had never, ever noticed that the bumbling cop music as they're coming out of the girl's house. And I had never noticed before. Now I cannot never not hear it. It's like they're walking up and that's where is that sound? Why would they put that there? It's just, it's almost like they're telegraphing. Yeah. These are idiot cops once again in a horror movie. And then, so they walk up and there's that walking music of them or whatever. And it's got some weird sound effect, kind of like the Joe's Rant sound or whatever. Yeah. And then they talk to him. And then after they're done talking to them and they walk away, they have a little end couple seconds of that same thing. It's
like the end of Joe's Rant.
I've never seen
a clown horn. There's a clown horn in it.
Yeah.
When they're doing it.
Yeah. And that weird sound, noisemaker sound. And I've never seen that before. Certainly not in a horror movie. I've only, maybe in a kids movie or a cartoon, but so now I can never not hear that. Thanks, Jeff.
My pleasure. Yeah. Yes. I'm happy to ruin Halloween 5 for you.
And of course, to keep up the Halloween atmosphere, I watched Sleepy Hollow on Halloween Eve, the 30th. And of course, on my yearly tradition on the 31st is to watch Halloween, which we did after our thousands of trick-or-treaters came through our neighborhood. It was insane. Apparently some influencers came to our street and did videos of our house and our neighbor's house and other people's houses on our street. And so we got way more trick-or-treaters even than we usually do. We gave out, I don't know, 1,200 pieces of candy maybe, and ran out by 9 o'clock. And there were still, I mean, our street was full of people. The horses were back.
People on goddamn horseback.
Yeah, horses were back again.
I can't get people on cars.
I don't know where those horses come from. We don't have, like, stables.
Bigger horses.
What?
Older horses.
Well, it's crazy. It's crazy because I was walking around on Halloween, and there were, like, no kids. I mean, I went to the Slankers. I feel like that's where everybody just goes to, the Slankers Horror House. But anywhere else, there's just no kids, like, running around.
I don't think, well, for one thing, I don't think people are having as many kids as they used to. But I think also now, I don't think people are just going around their own neighborhoods as much. I think they're going to destination areas to try, like my street. Burbank, apparently, this year, I read an article, is one of the biggest trick-or-treating hotspots in L.A. And
yeah,
so,
I agree. I think all of the kids from Chicago flew to Burbank.
Flew to Burbank.
That's the only explanation.
That's the only explanation. But that's Burbank is we get a ton of trick or treaters here, and I mean we could buy we bought 8 I think of the big bags from Costco, so we could probably buy 20 and give a mile out. It's crazy. So anyway. So after we were done, we turned out the lights, watched Halloween, and we still had people knocking on our door after 10 o'clock, by the way. And then, yeah, we went to see Trap. Or no, we didn't go to see it. We rented Trap this last weekend, and it was I thought...
Oh, you didn't pay money for that, did you?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, we watched it on HBO Max, I think. Yeah.
I paid money. Ugh. What did you think of M. Night's daughter's performance in that film?
Who did she play?
She was the musician,
the pop star.
Artist.
Oh, yeah. I thought she was fine.
Very pretty.
She was fine, but she's when she was on and singing would usually be when I would look down and scroll on my phone.
I know. It was just nonstop, listen to my music.
I appreciated it because even though it's not my music, it does sound like music that a teenager would be really into. It doesn't, like sometimes you see a movie with music made for the movie and it doesn't sound like anything a teenager would go see, but this did seem very poppy and like something a girl like that would, and kids like that would be into.
much like in Smile 2.
Right.
Right.
What performance did you like more? Did you like the trap Smile music 2. Or did you like Smile 2? Yeah, no, I thought Smile 2 was way better.
Yeah. Smile 2 music was better, but you know.
Better production too.
But it I thought that the first half or so of Trap was pretty exciting. I thought when he was walking around trying to figure out what's going on and it was actually a trap at that place, that kind of a almost like a reverse Die Hard kind of situation where he's the bad guy trying to get out in one location. I thought that would have that if I don't know, maybe he just ran out of ideas of what to do there. And so they had to have this terrible idea. As the third act went on, it got dumber and dumber. But it was kind of fun in an absurd way. And it did seem like Josh Hartnett was having a blast, you know, and he doesn't get to do this kind of stuff very often. So it was I didn't mind it. I don't think I'd go out of my way to see it if I was anyone. But, you know, you might, if you're a 2024 completist, I suppose you got to watch it.
I thought he was fine, but once he reveals who he is and what he's done, from that point on, the rest of the film just fell apart.
I feel like it fell apart once the plan came into focus and he was going to leave with the girl. It just seemed unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there was a campiness to it that kind of almost forgave it. It was borderline, but. I gave it 3 cuts. It's entertaining enough. I didn't feel like I completely wasted my time. Now, if I had paid good money to go to it at the theater like you did, Mark, then yes, I would have had a more negative view of it.
Yeah. I mean, basically you're saying what my review was when I saw it. It's like to a T. And I thought Josh Hartnett's performance was a little bit over the top. During some of the scenes, just him talking. But other than that, I mean, I thought he was fine.
So hang on, Matt. You will ding your review on a movie based on how much you paid for it?
Well, I definitely hurts your, you know, enjoyment if you pay for something that, you know, because movies are expensive. So it would probably affect my opinion of it. Whereas if you're at home under a low stakes situation where I didn't pay for it, that's different.
Yeah. I paid $30, you know. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, I mean,
if I paid $30 to go to it, I'd probably.
But then again, Mark sees movies of it, like what? 7 times in a row at the theater. Too,
well, yeah. So.
Okay. It was $1.50 back when Predators was almost on. It was only $1.50, so it was super cheap. But the movie theater now doesn't do, you know, the release of the films almost right before video, so it's not that cheap anymore. But yeah, it was $30 with popcorn and my drink, man. Yeah. It's just like, son of a bitch.
Sucker born every minute.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. TikTok. I'm gonna watch and buy shit.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
And then I saw Beazle, and that is on. We watched. I think it's for rent as well, if I'm not mistaken. And this was, I thought, pretty good. It's a
could
spooky,
I buy it?
I don't remember now if it's. I think it's a rental. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we rented it, but. Yeah, you could buy it, Joe.
I'll probably just buy it. Yeah.
But it was a spooky little creep show. It's almost, I don't know if I'd say it's an anthology, but it does have to do with 3 different people who come into this particular house where there's a demon living in the basement that kind of it kind of sucks people in and almost kind of possesses them. It's hard to explain too much without giving away too much, but it had a feel. It's not as good as Barbarian, but it did have a feel very kind of similar to Barbarian in some ways. But this was, I thought, a pretty good movie. It won't be in my top 10, but it's definitely worth checking out. I have a feeling a lot of people will really, really like this movie, but it's called Beezel, B-E-E-Z-E-L. and it's got like this weird witch looking woman on the cover, but definitely worth checking out. I thought this was a pretty good movie. I think Danielle recommended it to us, and this was a good one. And I think that brings me to this brings me to the end of my Shocktober and new movies that I watch. So
One thing I forgot a note. When you guys watched Smile 2, did anyone think of that animated film Perfect Blue?
I haven't watched that yet.
Oh.
No, I thought you had.
I didn't while watching the movie. However, now that you mention it, yes.
Yeah, there was like some reminiscence.
I see the similarities.
Yeah. I thought, Matt, you were the one that talked to us about that first.
No, Joe.
Or was that you, Joe? Oh, it was Joe.
It was Joe.
Oh, okay.
I know we're interchangeable for you, but.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have beards, good looking. Jason Voorhees
can't swim. And Frederick Krueger is here to expose the truth. Can you believe Jason proposed a bill promising to drain our lakes? With America underwater, we need a leader who will rise to the top, not a mama's boy who sinks to the bottom. How can Jason speak for this great nation when he can't even speak for himself?
Yeah, Jason!
This election, vote for Freddie and give him the chance to turn your nightmares into the American dream.
Take that, fuck
Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger, it's all fucking lies there. Of course Jason knows how to swim. You're doing Freddy versus Jason.
CineScare is a equal opportunity podcast, true. And we will make sure that we hear equally from both parties this evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
all right. Well,
save
that
comments for later.
That's some bullshit right there.
Hey.
Or do you want to hear from the other party right now?
Right now.
Frederick Charles Krueger preys on the youth of America. The parents of Elm Street burned him once, and now it's Jason's turn. Krueger can't be trusted. He's a master of deception who hides in your dreams instead of facing reality. Jason confronts danger head on and will protect this country like his campground.
Yeah.
America can't afford to let a bully take control. Jason was bullied as a boy, and he won't let it happen again. This election, don't let Freddy's tricks lead you astray. Vote for Jason Voorhees, a family man who is ready to fight for the real world.
There it is.
I vote Jason right there. That was amazing. Where did you guys get that?
Joe found it.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
That was great.
Although I can't really start it until Matt does the whoosh sound.
Oh, I thought that was going to replace it.
Well, I guess it can. I'm just so used to it.
No.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every time we play the wrong sound cue, take a drink. There we go.
I like that one. That was good.
Like it's like lofting fireballs.
And, the other one has more bass to it.
Oh, yeah. Chick.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Drink.
Okay, so are we getting... Can we cast our votes? All right, we're going to get onto our actual topic of conversation tonight, which is episode 108, Election Horror, where we were assigned three movies this week. The Purge, Election Year, from 2016. The Dead Zone, from 1983. And... They Live from 1988. So we're going to get started with The Purge Election Year from 2016, which you could have seen back last month on Peacock. I don't know where it is now. I do, because I had to rent it. I didn't take my own advice. Anyway, written and directed by James DeMonaco, who, strange fact, has written and directed all of the films in the Purge franchise, which that's quite a feat nowadays. For those of you that didn't see it, the synopsis of this film is former police sergeant Sergeant Barnes becomes the head of security for Senator Charlie Rowan, who is a presidential candidate targeted for death on Purge night due to her vow to eliminate the Purge permanently. And this movie is starring Frank Grillo, who plays our hero, Leo Barnes, Elizabeth Michelle, or Mitchell, sorry, who plays Senator Charlie Rowan, who you guys might remember from Lost. And of course, McKelty Williamson as Joe Dixon, otherwise known as Bubba from Forrest Gump. So, Mark, why don't you start campaigning for what you thought about this film?
Campaigning. I don't know about campaigning. it was my least favorite out of the three. This franchise with a great idea went off the rails and became a poor man's action slash horror film, maybe. I wouldn't even call this horror, but there are five films, right, Joe? And it's the same director?
Same director, same writer.
That's insane. That's insane, because the first is brilliant. It has a brilliant premise. But, I mean, this was also produced by Michael Bay, and you can tell by the slow motion shots of, like, with those three women dancing in front of the deli while the other two are grinding into the deli shop, and it's just slow motion with the music. And then you have those Michael Bay shots with the Lincoln Memorial, and it says Purge, you know, and it's like so beautiful to look at. It's Michael Bay. I'm not a big fan of him. Like the original Purge, it had a great idea, and it was a home invasion horror film. But with that, it comes a wonderful question. Like, would you purge? And if so, why? For me, if I would purge, it would have to deal with a certain loss of someone, or if someone did me so wrong, you know, I would do it. You know, it'd take a lot for me to purge. Am I in one of those people? I'm on a cusp. My brain waves, my brain patterns. Sometimes I feel like I would purge. I would. Not many people would, I know, but I feel like I'm in the minority. I would purge. Frank Grillo?
Grillo.
Grillo. Frank Grillo was fine in this. He's charismatic. He's got the DNA body specimen for this kind of action film. But that's my point. It's an action film. I don't think it's horror. I wasn't invested in this film because I wasn't invested in the characters. Like Bubba from Forrest Gump, who plays a deli owner. Like, now he's like become a gun for hire. It's like, where did he get the balls to do this and like shoot guns? And like, he's up against the wall. Nothing clicked for me. For this film, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great premise. I just think the director, he just went way off the mark with this. I don't think I've watched all the Purges. Like, the last one I saw, and I thought maybe this was going to be the last Purge I saw, I think it was like The Purge the first year. And I reviewed it, and it kind of looks the same way. Also, I had to rent this, and I can only rent it on 4K. And 4K does not look good to me. Everything is too crisp and clear. It doesn't – I like that film, you know, grade where, you know, it seems like a film. It's too crisp. It's too clear. It looks cheap with 4K. I hate 4K. Other than that, yeah.
Remind me to send you all my old VHS.
Yeah, no thank you. No thank you. Yeah.
So I have a feeling it might be the setting you have on your television.
Is it?
That gives it the soap opera effect. So you need to...
Yeah, the soap opera effect.
You need to Google soap opera effect, and then you'll have a different opinion of it. But
yeah,
but
like,
don't just Google soap operas, because you'll go down a whole rabbit hole.
Oh, my children.
There's a setting on your TV you can switch it to, and it'll immediately look 100% better in 4K.
Yeah, because like everything is just like popped out. It's like the background's different, and in the you can see the makeup. I felt like I was watching The Hobbit.
Sounds terrible.
I felt like I was watching The Hobbit in the theater. Did you guys remember that? How like fake it looked?
Yeah, that's because he shot it in, I can't remember what frames per second, but in your case, it's because Yeah, it was a crazy 60 or yeah. something. But in your case, it's because your TV is on the wrong setting. You've got to switch the setting on your TV so that it
or doesn't... buy a crappier TV.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I mean, it was fine, but I was glancing at my phone, and I mean, it was all just gunshots anyways. Like, most of the kills were gunshots. Nothing was, like, truly gory, and, like, there was, like, a beheading with a guillotine, you know, down on alley. You don't even get to see anything. It's just, and it was all slow motion, and I wasn't a fan of any of the main characters. So, that's my opinion.
All right, Matt, what did you have to say?
Yeah, I didn't really care for this one either. I've only seen like parts of the first one. So I haven't, this is one, horror series that's kind of a hole in my viewing. I do need to watch the others, but, and I did like what I saw of the first one. So I kind of stopped watching. I can't remember. I was someplace where they were playing, people were watching it. Might have been, I don't know. I don't remember now, but so I watched part of it and I was like, I'm going to stop watching this because it does actually look pretty good. But it seemed like that movie was more self-contained and it wasn't such a huge thing. And so that's why the story worked better. But this is like this giant epic sort of thing, but it's stupid at the same time, you know? And also like, so here, all these people have been living in this world where there's a purge, but none of them look like they live in a society where once a year they could be murdered. Like at the beginning of this, of the movie, everybody's in, you know, like people come over to the shop where this guy is, and they all are acting like they're just, it's just normal. They're in a normal world, you know. In order for the purge, I just don't think the purge could happen in a democracy. It needs a dystopian society. It's a dystopian idea, the purge. And so it needs a dystopian government and authoritarian government in order to really make it happen. But these guys, you know, it's like they live separate from the purge, except on the purge night. But even on the purge night, everybody's acting like it's just a party. You know, it's kind of odd. So the senator doesn't want to be a hypocrite, and that's why she doesn't want to leave town. But who's going to be fighting against the purge if she gets killed by staying in town, you know? So it's like, you can't, it's just stupid. It's stupid choices, and I get like she would, you know, feel like a hypocrite by leaving, but she has to be able to live to find another day to stop the purge, and she's not there yet. The girls in their, like, I'd like to see like a behind the scenes, or not behind the scenes, but a scene of the girls like putting all those Christmas lights on their car and how long that must have taken just to get ready for the purge. And then they have all these sexy outfits on that don't seem very practical. They've obviously been killing people because they have blood all over them. And they have them like kind of dancing when they get it. It's this whole Michael Bay, just terrible filmmaking. It's just brutally bad. Let's see. And then I at one point, like she was trying to make, because they were trying to get her out of town, and she was trying to get them to turn back, you know, and then the truck comes and crashes into her. And I wrote, that crash robbed her of making a heroic choice. And then I wrote, oh, fuck it. Like, what am I arguing for about these things? The villains are just stereotypically maniacal idiot villains that just don't seem realistic at all. It almost seems like some of these characters are from a John Wick movie, but the John Wick movies have their own world, you know, that has been built. This just feels... there isn't much world building in this world, even though there should be. And this might actually, this kind of movie is very different from the first one. The first one seems more realistic to me, even though it's not completely, but, and then there should be a rule about dumb movies like this. This should really only be 90 minutes long. There's no excuse for this movie being 2 hours and 48 minutes. It's at least 20 minutes too long for what this is. But so yeah, it's not very good. I kind of stinks that the first Purge movie that who knows, maybe I would have liked it more if I'd watched the others, but probably not. Have you watched all the others, you guys?
I have only seen the original Purge and then this one.
And I've seen the original, now the Purge Election, and the Purge the First Day. Those are the three I've watched. And I hear the second one's actually not too bad.
I also want to point out, you were talking about the bad guys. I would have bet money before I looked it up that the head Nazi, that Earl Danziger guy, I would have bet money that was Anthony Michael Hall.
That's what I thought too.
I would have bet my kid's life on that was Anthony Michael Hall. He's a dead ringer. The actor's name is Terry Serpico. That's not made up.
That's
no, but you're right, Joe. He looked exactly. I went on. I got excited actually when I saw him.
I know. Anthony Michael Hall.
I went on IMDb and I was like, where the fuck is he? Is he uncredited?
I went to IMDb and looked it up and it said that it wasn't him, but I was excited. You know, like, it's Anthony Michael Hall. Nope, it's not. So
I mean, the same build, same eyes. I mean, everything. Yeah. It's like a doppelganger. I thought it was too crazy.
Yeah. One other thing I want to point out. I agree with both of you. This is a crappy movie. I was extremely disappointed after I watched it, only because I've only seen the original Purge, which, by the way, I found out the Purge is supposed to take place on March 21st every year. 3-2-1. This is the first movie that they swayed away from that. It's on November 4th or whatever, because they had to be on an election night, which was so stupid. Anyway, one other stupid thing about this movie that I'm just guessing, Matt, back to what you were saying about Michael Bay adding stupid crap. The idea of a tracer bullet is just asinine. It doesn't exist. Bullets are designed to kill people. Why would you need to track them afterwards? There are tracking quote-unquote bullets that you can like shoot onto a car to track them via GPS, but there's nothing you can shoot in a it's just stupid.
So, well, and anyway. What are the I mean, if it goes through him, you know, like what is it gonna
if it works right, I've killed you and there you are. You're not moving, I just killed him.
Let's not kill him. Let's track him so we can kill him.
I'm just gonna wing him in the shoulder so that he can walk away and then I'll find him later.
Well, it'll make for a more interesting movie, I guess, they think.
Or not. So
I did.
Go ahead. Joe. No, go ahead.
No, I did think that there was sort of a nice choice where the senator was going, don't kill him. Don't make him a martyr. You know, I could lose the election this way. So I kind of like that. That was a nice little twist. Even though she's killing people.
Yeah. Okay. I think we've
exhausted that one.
It's dead. So speaking of dead, we're going to go on to our next pick, which was The Dead Zone from 1983, starring Christopher Walken, Brooke Adams, Tom Skerritt of all people, Herbert Lahm as Dr. Sam Wysick, and Martin Sheen of all people. So for those of you who haven't seen it, this is a character, English teacher named John Smith. What an interesting name. He wakes up from a coma after a car accident, only to find out that he's lost 5 years of his life and he's gained these psychic powers that gives him the ability to foresee the future. And what appears to be a gift at the beginning of the movie later on becomes a curse. So also based on a Stephen King short story. So Matt, what did you think about Dead Zone?
Oh yeah, I love
it. If you
love,
could do it as a Christopher Walken.
I love The Dead Zone. I've always loved this movie. I remember I saw it. I didn't see it in the theater, but I saw it when it first came out on video. We rented it and I think I maybe watched it one other time a couple years later, but it's been a very long time since I've revisited this movie, which is weird because it is often on AMC during their, or it has been on their whatever Fear Fest during October. It's usually on at some point during the month. And I have like turned it on when I'm going around the channels or whatever, and I've watched parts of it or whatever, but I haven't sat down and watched it from beginning to end probably since a long, long time ago. It's just great. It holds up. I think it holds up really well. This is just a classic movie. And I forgot that Cronenberg directed it for some reason. Yeah. I'm not sure why I forgot that, but and Christopher Walken, he's one creepy teacher. But I could listen to him recite The Raven. I would love to just listen to a recording of him reciting The Raven anytime, or the Sleepy Hollow story. It seemed a little cold for them to be on a roller coaster at the beginning of the movie, like they were wearing coats.
Who goes on a roller coaster in the winter?
Yeah, it seemed. They were. I think it was around Thanksgiving time, or no, maybe it was. I mean, it was winter, whatever it was. They were in
and they're
coats.
Up in Niagara.
Yeah. And then the trailer seemed to be sliding quite a bit. It was raining, not icy, I don't think. But the trailer, when the truck fell over, just kept sliding like it had a mind of its own. I like the it would be a very brutal. I just can't imagine, like, you're in love with somebody and life is great and all this, and then you go into a coma and you wake up 5 years later and everything is different. Like, I was thinking of the movie Castaway, where that kind of thing sort of happened to Tom Hanks, but it wasn't like. But in his case, he had lived all that time on the island alone. I don't remember how long it was, but
7 years, I think.
Yeah, he had lived through that time. But to Christopher Walken's character, it must have, it probably felt like he was knocked out and then woke up, and to him, everything was still fresh. So it's such a brutal idea. And I just wrote at one point, this movie is such a treat. Tom Skerritt, I think he's born to play a sheriff. I think at that time they should.
Yes,
they
I
should
agree.
Never have hired him.
100%.
Anyone else to play a sheriff in any movie, they should not have
he
done.
He needs
they
to be in just, some sort of uniform.
Yeah. They mm-hmm. should have just called him. Hey, you need to play the sheriff or the general or whatever. There was one spot. There was one really bad special effect or practical effect when he shoots the woman. The guy's mom, the blood bag under the sweater was obviously like sticking out. Martin Sheen had a vision of being the president, and then years later he played the president on television. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, West Wing.
Yeah, if you can change the future, I'm trying to think.
We're talking about the Hitler comment.
Well, no. What I'm thinking is because he can picture the future, and then the doctor said, "Well, that means you can change the future." And he was like, "Well, yeah, I guess so." But if you could change the future, how would you ever know that you could that you changed it? Like, if you changed it, do you still have a memory of what life would have been like if you hadn't changed it? I guess. Yeah.
Well, your vision would change. He had one vision, and then he did something different.
Yeah,
and then his vision completely changed.
Yeah, like with the hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the end, originally and this time too, I still feel the guy grabbing a child and holding it up in front of him. It's kind of a cheap way to get him back. You know what I mean? I would rather have seen him just get shot maybe or something or have some scandal in a different way. But this is, I guess, true to the book too. I never read the book, but I guess that's how it winds up at the end too, is he holds up a kid in front of him to protect him. But it does seem,
I mean,
a little,
that's the worst.
Yeah. It seems
the worst thing to do.
Poetically humiliating for him.
It's the worst.
Kind of far fetched. I can understand if he ducked behind the woman or something and they got a shot of him, but like he grabs a kid and holds him up.
Hoists him up in the air.
Yeah.
This small child would protect me from your bullets.
I mean,
it was great.
Even if he was a complete dick, You gotta know in the back of your head that you're making a career destroying move by doing that.
You're getting shot at. Come on. The guy was a douchebag.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's douche and then there's that. I don't know. That seemed a little far-fetched to me. But so that the ending has always kind of felt like it didn't quite stick it, you know, because of that. But that's all.
Are we on to Mark?
I love the movie.
Mark, Mark, what did you think?
Same for me. I love it. Same as Matt. I probably haven't seen this film in over 30 years. And watching this film, I noticed how cold this movie felt in its like real environment. They filmed it in Ontario, Canada, in early January. That had a deep freeze that lasted like 2 weeks, and you could see it on the screen. I really think how cold it was and how the actors reacted to the weather really worked for the film. I mean, just watching Christopher walking in that alley when he was touching the Marlboro pack, just him like walking through the slush. I mean, that's real slush. That's real snow. And I really thought it added to the film. Just with the breaths, just watching them shiver like outside. I mean, you can see the actors struggle, and I really think that helped the film out with its authenticity. Christopher Walken is such an interesting actor. His dialect is so distinct, and I did research on Walken and to try to find out like why he talks like that. And he said it's because his mother and father were immigrants from Scotland and Germany, and his parents and neighbors always spoke broken English. So with that New York accent and broken English, that's what he grew up with, and that's why he talks the way he does in real life. And it just has – I mean, it's gone away a little bit, but that's the way he talks. And I just find that just fascinating. That's like the reason why. There is hardly any gore in this besides the scissor scenes in the bathroom with the cop, you know, and you don't even really see the kill. He's just in the bathroom doing a little twitch, but I'm okay with that because there are some tiny jump scares, like with Christopher Walken is searching for the Castle Rock killer and Tom Skerritt just comes into the hallway. I jumped because I haven't seen this in so long. I jumped out of my seat. It got me. The atmosphere was just wonderful. My problem with this film is the girlfriend. It's the girlfriend. So I'm totally cool that the girlfriend moved on. It was like 4 years probably until she moved on and start marrying. The baby was only like 10 months old, right, guys? But for her to come back to his house with the child, she's married. She comes back to Johnny's house with the child, sleeps with him while the child is in another bedroom or something, then cooks dinner for him and his dad, and just sits down and just makes Christopher Walken so happy. And he's just smiling at the dinner table. And like, what is she doing to him? I mean, she sure have been doing this.
Mark, I'm going to stop you right there because I'm going to read my note verbatim. And I was going to be so extremely disappointed if you of all people didn't make this comment. So my note is Brooke Adams is a bigger slut than Dee Wallace. Her 10-month-old son is 8 feet away from her and she's committing adultery.
Yes.
Couldn't agree more. So glad you said
absolutely,
something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are you doing bringing a baby, a 10-month-year-old, and then he's playing with the baby? This husband didn't seem like – her husband didn't seem like a bad guy. He's just going, you know, rooting for the wrong candidate. How is he supposed to know?
He's no Christopher Walken, but
no, he's no Christopher. Okay. But I mean, doing that, I mean, what are you doing? And then the other part with his ex-girlfriend is that he tries to assassinate a soon-to-be senator, right? Martin Sheen. He's going to be a senator, right? He's going to be a senator. So Christopher Walken just did an assassination attempt. But she still says, I love you, you know, while her husband is holding her baby on stage. This one, she's worse than Dee Wallace and from Cujo, in my opinion. She's pretty, you know, and I understand that she loves, you know, but like, what are you doing? All that just drove me absolutely insane. I do love the Castle Rock killer montage, you know, like that one. It seemed like this film was in like in three parts. It was him with before the accident, mm-hmm. after the accident, you know, rehabilitating. And then you get the
he helps with the killer. Yeah,
he helps with the killer. And then the third act was with, you know, with
the
kid with the hockey team.
The election.
And then the election
is going to break.
Ice is going to break. Oh, my God. That was a great scene when he just swung that claw. Just whack. It was so good. The ice is going to break. I loved it. But yeah, I haven't seen this film in so long. It still holds up. It looks beautiful. I love the 80s. Oh, and by the way, talk about a horrible mother. She puts the 10-month-year-old, after she leaves Johnny's house, puts him in the front seat and just drives off. I mean, it's a horrible mother.
Well, back then, that was okay.
I know. But like, just no car seat, just puts him in the front seat, just drives off.
He'll be fine.
What a horrible mother. What a horrible wife. Dear God. Joe.
All right, this should surprise you. Stephen King's first choice for John Smith. Any guesses?
Bill Murray. That would have been horrible.
Yeah.
That would have been horrible. What a horrible choice. Love Bill Murray, but
they also had considered Al Pacino, Richard Gere, and Robert De Niro, which I think
would have been good. Richard Gere would have been great.
I also wanted to point out that I just thought this was interesting. It was while they were talking about the if you could go back in time and kill Hitler, would you? That whole debate. The rifle that John Smith uses to try to kill Senator Stilson, or soon to be Senator Stilson, was a Carabiner 98K, which is a German service rifle that they used until the end of World War II. So he's using a Nazi-issued weapon in that scene after just referencing killing Hitler, which I thought was weird. And I got to point out too, that 1983, those were the good old days when you could just take a rifle and wrap it up in a small blanket and get on a bus and nobody would bother you about it. You know, they didn't even ask you. Yeah. But I think this is a wonderful movie with a fantastic ending. I still like it. You kill the villain, you say goodbye, you die a hero.
Yeah.
Couldn't get any better than that. I don't know if you guys ever did, but speaking of from earlier, Anthony Michael Hall, did you guys ever watch the TV series of this?
I thought about watching it, but when did it come out? Like mid-90s or something like that?
Yeah,
or was it the late 2000s? I can't remember.
I'd have to look it up, but I thought it was late 90s or something. It had to be very late 90s. Either way, it used to be on USA Network, I think. I liked it. I watched every episode. I thought Anthony Michael Hall wasn't too bad. Actually,
how many
I had
seasons?
I don't remember. It's been so long. But I saw the series with Anthony Michael Hall before I even watched the movie. And after we got, Shelley and I used to watch it, and we got like five episodes into it. And I'm like, we should probably watch the original movie to see which is better. But they were both really good. If you get a chance,
With the series, did the series kind of like lead up to the senator and whatnot? Kind of like the storyline?
I don't remember if they had a Stilson character or not, but I do remember it. It was more of an episodic version of the movie where there was still the John Smith character. He was still a teacher. He still was in a coma and he came back, but it was more of an interaction with him and the sheriff utilizing his powers to solve crime episode after episode.
Okay.
So there may have been another larger story arc with a Senator Stilson character. I just don't remember. Like I said, it's been ages. So
yeah.
So anyway, that's it. We're going to move on to our last film, which is the John Carpenter classic They Live from 1988. This was based on a short story from 1963 called 8 o'clock in the Morning by Ray Nelson. And if anybody would like to read this, I have a link to it on the CineScare Horror website. So just go to the post on CineScare Horror when this comes out, and it'll be in this episode's show notes. And it's only like 8 pages long. It was actually quite interesting.
Nice.
But anyway, for those of you who have not read it or have not seen the movie, our main character, his last name is Nada, because he's nothing. He's a down on his luck construction worker, and he discovers a pair of sunglasses. While he's wearing them, he's able to see the world as it really is. People are being bombarded by media and government with messages like stay asleep and no imagination and submit to authority. Even scarier is that he's able to see some unusually looking people. They're aliens, actually, living among us. And they're in charge of a massive campaign to try to keep humans subdued. So this is starring, of course, Roddy Piper as Nada, Keith David as Frank, and Meg Foster, who should win some sort of award for the most gorgeous eyes, as Holly.
Phenomenal. So, yeah. Oh, my God.
So, Mark, we're back to you. What did you think of this?
Well, I love the premise of this film, wearing sunglasses to see everything in black and white, to see the truth that everything is for sale. Everything is to make you buy. The public is the sheep, and the entertainment moguls and the government are the ghouls. I mean, that's, I think, what John Carpenter was just trying to say, because Reaganomics going on. He wasn't happy with President Ronald Reagan. And that's basically why he wanted this film to be made. Now, for the first time, and I don't know but why, but probably just because Joe has this movie in election horror topic, or because, you know, today is election day. Today, I watched it like 2 nights ago, but election day was coming up. So, but when I watched Piper and Keith Davis' crazy fight scene in the alley, I felt like it was like a Republican or a Democrat trying to have a Democrat or a Republican see what's really going on, or vice versa with the sunglasses. Like how stubborn both sides are and refuse to listen to each other or whatnot. And that fight was kind of like primal. It's like, you know, Rowdy's like, put the glasses on. Like, you need to see what I need, you know, what I see, or vice versa, you know, Democrats or Republicans. That's what I thought. And I thought maybe, I mean, I'm sure that's not what Carpenter was thinking, you know, when he shot this scene, but close to election day, that's kind of like the connection I kind of saw. It's like both parties trying to make, you know, and that's why it was so like animalistic at the end. They're like growling like animals, just growling at each other at the very end of the fight. And I feel like that's what Republicans and Democrats are trying to do to each other this day and age. I just thought that was kind of neat. I could be completely wrong, by the way. With that being said, it's the normal John Carpenter acting. I understand why the critics didn't like this film or even love this film when it was first released. I'm so happy it's now a cult classic. It's just the acting's just not that great. The writing is low, average, and it gets a little ridiculous at times to try to take a message of this film seriously, what I think Carpenter was trying to do. Because there are just dialogue, you know, like Rowdy's little one-liners, like "Mommy don't like that," or you know, or
I've come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Well, that's
life's a bitch, and she's back in heat.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. Yeah, I knew you guys wrote down the one-liners. Yeah, they're corny. I mean, the bubblegum one is just absolutely amazing. It's classic.
Actually, Roddy Piper wrote that line.
Did he really?
Yes.
God bless him.
He had it in a notebook while he was studying his lines, and he showed it to Carpenter. Carpenter's like, yeah, that's great. Put it in.
Oh, rest in peace. Oh, man. Rowdy, gotta love him. I think he did some steroids before he did this film because he never looked that big during when he was wrestling. He was jacked up, and I think he was thinking, hey, this is my Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger moment. It's like, I got to get jacked up like these boys because he was never that big as a wrestler. But I think Roddy Piper is actually – he didn't do too bad in this film, especially I don't know if he's done like other films before or if this was like his first premiere film that he's done, but he wasn't that bad. My most laugh out scene is when he's in the studio woman's apartment and he comes up. He's going, oh, wait, the tower and all that. And she just backhands this guy, Roddy Piper, Nada. And he just flies out the window, goes, I don't know how many stories down. It just tumbles down a mountain. And he survives that is absolutely insane. But that was an hysterical moment. It's a laugh out loud moment for me. My worst critique of this film, and it's a cult classic, and I get it, but it's the music. The music is so repetitive, especially at the beginning. It's the down now.
Yeah, 100%.
The down now. And I'm just like, Carpenter, you're better than this. You did a Halloween theme. Is it repetitive? But it was just special. I don't know what he was doing with this. It's not a Western. It was just nonstop, repeat, repeat. And it kept going and going. And I'm just like, I need something new with the music. But I just love, you know, when he goes into the supermarket and it's just a perfect reaction. I love how Carpenter had with the reveal with the sunglasses, and he's like bringing the sunglasses down and then up. It was just, it just looks so good. It looks so dystopian. It looks so like sci-fi. It's a great film, and I'm glad it's a cult classic, and I'm glad everybody now loves this film.
All right, Matt, you're up.
I had not watched this in quite some time, but I thought Roddy Piper wasn't too bad in this. You know, he's pretty good for a wrestler turned actor, which we hadn't seen much up to that point. I know we have since The Rock and what's his name, John Cena have done it, obviously, and they've crossed over. I mean, The Rock is one of the biggest stars in the world, you know, and it's almost hard to even remember that he used to. Well, I don't know if he still wrestles or not, but it's hard to remember. And then the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, was he a wrestler too, or was he something else?
He was a wrestler.
Yeah.
So, but back then, like, you know, the idea of a wrestler, a pro wrestler, I know pro wrestling had a big heyday in the mid to late 80s, you know, with whatever WrestleMania and all that, but having him starring in movies was, you know, not common.
Or cameos.
Yeah, maybe cameos. Feature film or silly roles. Movies, maybe. I don't know.
But yeah, they're usually bad guys.
Yeah. Or like Andre the Giant, you know, would just play a giant or whatever, but Roddy Piper isn't too bad in this. He's actually, I thought, pretty good, you know, for what it was. It does start out kind of slow, and I don't think the music helps things at all with that dun, dun, dun. It was almost like a blues kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it keeps going, and that kind of contributes to the feeling like, okay, come on, let's get someplace now. But once he puts on the glasses, it's beautiful. I mean, I love those shots of the black and white shots almost have a throwback feel to them. And I like the design of the alien faces. I thought the aliens were really cool looking in this and like very creepy. Like it's creepy looking. But, you know, and then seeing what the messaging on the billboards and all of that really is saying. It's a cool concept, and I thought that was a really great design and completely different from what we're seeing in the real world of this world of this movie, or I guess if that is the real world. That fight scene is still, it's so long. It goes on and on. And I remember the first time I saw
brilliant.
It, the first time I saw it, I did not appreciate this movie the first time I saw it. I saw it again, you know, some years later, and I had more of an appreciation for it. I kept hoping that John Carpenter would make something like Halloween again, you know, and something that would really grab me. And so when I'd see something like this, it would just disappoint me because I wanted that, you know, feeling again. But I got the campiness of it, and I did get some, you know, there's obviously a lot of camp in this and a lot of just over the top, you know, everything's over the top in this. But that fight scene goes on and on but it almost becomes comical how long it goes on. And it's sort of a lazy fight. I mean, not lazy, but they're definitely hurting each other because they don't have a lot of energy at the end. Huh?
I'm going to jump in this because this is relevant. So the fight scene between Roddy Piper and Keith David was supposed to only last 20 seconds, but Piper and David decided to fight it out for real. Only faking the hits to the face and the groin. They rehearsed the fight for 3 weeks, and they rehearsed it in Carpenter's backyard while he was working. And Carpenter was so impressed. John Carpenter was so impressed that he kept the scene intact, which runs 5 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
God bless it. It's so good. Thank God for that. It's actually, oh my God.
Part of the reason is because when Carpenter grew up, he was a huge wrestling fan, which is why he cast Roddy Piper. And he also used to write an article for a wrestling magazine when he was younger.
Wow. That's hilarious. Well,
that explains a lot.
It definitely. Yeah. A lot of the moves felt like wrestling moves. A lot of the punches.
Oh, entirely.
Very much like wrestling moves. Let's see. Life's a bitch and she's back in heat. I wrote that down. And the bubblegum, obviously, that's one that's taken on a life of its own.
Classic.
It's a classic line. I don't even know if people know that line comes from this movie, you know.
I announce that at work every day when I get into the office.
Ready to purge.
Nice. So they go on this tour of the whatever the
TV studio
and the brains of the operation looks like it's tech from 1985, not tech from a civilization that's been able to travel across a solar system to get to our planet. Except the technology that lets them beam to wherever they want to go, you know, that big window. I don't know where they are.
I can't tell you how it works, but it works.
I don't know how it works, but how does it work? Well, you get on this thing and it beams you off. Yeah, but how does it work? Well, you get on it and it goes. But how does it work?
Don't ask questions.
You just get on it.
Yes, Mark.
Is it me or is it that old guy that was like showing Keith David and Piper around the place, wasn't that the bum in the homeless area?
Yes.
So he wouldn't know how it worked.
Right.
Well, he got recruited by the aliens, and that's why he was all dressed up at their party.
Yeah.
And so when Piper and David walked in, he assumed they were also new recruits. So he was just getting them up to speed and divulging their entire evil plan.
Yeah, and how does he have access when he just joined a group and he has access to all that anyway? Yeah,
everybody gets the tour.
Yeah, everyone gets the tour.
Come on, show it.
How does he have access? Well, he has access. Yeah, but how does he have access? He just has access. That's the kind of explanation.
They beamed him in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And that really that whole grand tour sequence felt like it kind of dragged the pacing a bit. You know, it's like we've got an action going. In fact, that big explosion in the warehouse was a great jump scare.
I jumped too
out of nowhere. And but which, by the way, didn't, you know, you'd think that Piper and the girl would be blown to smithereens from that too. They were right next to the wall when it exploded, but you know, they didn't. So why didn't they? I don't know, because they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't die. Why? They didn't.
They didn't.
You're because not getting the whole theme. You're yeah. just supposed to obey. Stop yeah, asking
true.
Questions.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, it did feel like it slowed down the pace when they took a tour. You know, I would have rather they kind of.
We got to put the exposition in somewhere.
I guess.
Give it to the homeless guy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the final line, "Hey, what's wrong, baby?" is just. It is a chef's kiss moment
yes.
to end the movie. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. So, yeah, this is a lot of fun, obviously, and one of those movies that is. It's got good reason to be a cult classic, and this would be a fun one to watch it with a midnight crowd with a lot of yeah. drinking going on at a Bruin View kind of place or whatever. This would be great to see in an environment like that.
So a couple other tidbits of trivia. Nada was originally written to be played by Kurt Russell.
Oh, because of Big Trouble in Little China.
I was wondering about that.
Was that before or after Big Trouble in Little China?
So I'll tell you, the only reason he didn't give it to Kurt Russell is because he just got done doing Elvis, Escape from New York, The Thing, and Big Trouble in Little China with Kurt Russell, and he felt he should move on and pick somebody else. So along with Roddy Piper, they had also considered Tom Cruise, Patrick Swayze, Sylvester Stallone, David Hasselhoff, and Johnny Depp.
Wow.
Patrick Swayze would have been great.
Well, I actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was thinking that he looked like, especially from distance shots, he looked a little like Kurt Russell in Big Trouble in Little China, the hair and everything.
The hair.
And I thought this could have been a sequel. This could have been Jack. What's the guy's name? Jack that Kurt Russell played in Big Trouble.
I was thinking of The Thing.
Jack Burton. This could have been a Jack Burton. This could have been a sequel, you know, because it's a very similar tone. It's kind of campy and funny, and you know, it's not as funny or, you know, it I don't think it plays into the comedy.
Over the top.
Yeah, it doesn't play into the comedy as much as Big Trouble in Little China, but with Kurt Russell, you certainly could have. You know, it would have been cool to have him in that. But oh well.
Here's a question. Would Big Trouble in Little China, would that be considered like comedy horror or no?
I think it's...
I couldn't tell you because I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, God, Joe.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah, I
was considering Big Trouble in Little China for a pick. And I looked it up and I couldn't find it listed as horror anywhere, even though it kind of qualifies. I mean, if this qualifies as horror, I kind of feel like it does
100%.
Because it's like they're dealing with demon-like
demons and that, sorcerers.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I've never seen Escape from New York either.
Oh. Joe!
Escape from New York is good.
Joe!
Might have to have a John Carpenter night of movies Joe hasn't seen.
If I take the movie, the disc, Halloween, and I put Big Trouble in Little China next to it on my shelf, and I put Escape from New York on the other side of it, does that make them both horror adjacent?
Yeah.
Could we watch them then?
Yeah. Oh my God, I would love to.
For any way to watch those films.
Both of them.
At first, because I've probably seen this 6 or 7 times, I don't even want to consider it a guilty pleasure. I'm proud that I like this movie. It's it's in my top 5 all-time campy horror-ish type films. I love the character design, the creature design in it. Yes. I think it's spectacular. Originally, I was thinking after watching these films that The Dead Zone and this movie could stand an update. I've since changed my mind. I just leave them alone. The Dead Zone, maybe.
Yeah.
Only because they did that. And by the way, Mark, to answer your question from earlier about the Anthony Michael Hall series, they had 81 episodes. It was in 2021.
Oh, wow.
And it went for 6 seasons. So, and
2021?
It's 2021. I'm sorry, 2002. With 81 episodes.
Holy six shit. Seasons, yeah.
And it's all on like Tubi and Freevee and stuff. So if you want to check them out, they're there. But back to They Live. One flaw that I didn't realize until after I read the short story that this is based on is when Roddy Piper's got the sunglasses on, he can hear the decoded messages. And I don't see how sunglasses would help me filter out
help
the
you
audio.
Hear.
Yes. Yeah. Which I think is totally stupid now that I realize that. But the way they did it in the original story in 1963, the short story, he was like at a show and he got called up on stage and he was hypnotized. And when he wakes up out of the hypnosis, everything changes. Like he can see people in the audience immediately. And they're like lizard people. They're not like the aliens like they've designed. And so that being said, to backtrack on what I said, if they were to redo this movie, I would prefer they stick to the original storyline. That would solve a couple problems. So I also wanted to point out that, I agree. I had a note too that it's kind of strange, all the exposition at the end. That they walk into this ballroom and all of a sudden they have their own tour guide to show them how the aliens are taking over the world and the planet and everything else. So, but I agree with Matt. It is one of my all-time favorite endings to a film. The whole, hey baby, what's wrong, when she's screwing a guy and she looks down and all of a sudden she realizes he's an alien. I think it was brilliant. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I hadn't seen this in so long. When I rewatched that scene, immediately in my head was, I hope they roll credits, and then all of a sudden credits grow up, and I just it was perfect.
Yeah, it was a perfect way to end.
Yes, yeah. If you have not seen this film, oh, and by the way, I would be okay with them remaking this, but I don't want to see a sequel.
Yeah,
no,
I don't want to see the continuation of the story ever. I want it to end with, hey baby, what's wrong? That's it should never be said.
Right.
So anyway, if you have not seen this, go see it. If you have not read the short story, whether you've seen this movie or not, I highly recommend it. It was very interesting. I liked it quite a bit. So
yeah,
and it's a quick read. And like I said, if you go to the Cinescare Horror website, look for episode 108, click on the notes, and you'll find a link to it right there. So
perfect. That's awesome, Joe.
Is all I've got. The ballot boxes are closed.
Excellent. Excellent.
Joe, can I? Well done.
Excellent.
Joe, can I ask you a favor?
Sure.
Could you not watch Big Trouble in Little China and Escape from New York until Matt and I decide if we could somehow get this into an episode? Can you not watch it?
I was going to watch him tonight, but I guess if you twist my arm, then...
I'm sure you could figure out a way to make those part of
we got to figure it out, because I would love to have like first reactions on an episode of Joe watching Big
they
Trouble
are,
in Little China. And
those are two movies that I've like been embarrassed in conversation about. Like, I feel like I should have watched those
Hold on.
Hey, Mark, I went 51 years without watching them. Another couple weeks isn't going to hurt anything.
Won't kill
you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Because I was kind of disappointed when you watch American Werewolf in London and I was going to do it like a werewolf pick and I couldn't use that. I was just like, fuck, he already watched it. And
I will do that for you, Mark. I will gladly not watch a film for you.
Okay, thanks.
You could do an Is It Horror episode and do those two plus one more.
Yeah.
So
those two films are just so fucking good.
Yeah.
And it's right up Joe's alley. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
As long as they don't have Kurt Russell in it, I'm okay.
All right.
So our next episode is we're going to have a special guest. So I guess, Joe, were you the one who set this up?
I did. And all I can tell people is your homework assignment is pretty easy. Watch what you want, but make sure you also watch the movie Black Friday.
Yeah. From what year?
If you vamp for a second, I can tell you.
Black Friday is a movie that
actually, Mark, 21? You should probably tell your story.
Oh yeah, 2021, right? Or no, hold on.
Yes, 2021.
Okay.
2021.
Written by Andy Griskowiak, which is who, cross your fingers, we will be talking to next episode.
And you can see this on Freevee, Amazon Prime. Yeah, Freevee or Amazon Prime or for rent.
Right. So, like, little backstory to this. I was waiting tables at my restaurant, and there was this lovely family of like six people, or I believe it maybe eight people. And I just kept on overhearing their conversation. They were talking about films, and I'm just, you know, not interjecting or anything, but they're just talking about films. And then they start, and I chimed in. I was going, oh, you know, that actor was in that film. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's right. And then they start talking about a horror film. And I said, oh, well, that actress is in that film and that film. They're going, well, how do you know so much about the horror films? I said, I'm actually a podcaster on a horror film. And then they said, oh, our son wrote the screenplay to Black Friday. And I was like, I saw that film and I really enjoyed it. And so I gave a CineScare card and they said, yeah, we'll give it to our son. And then
lo and behold,
Andy contacted Joe, and he'll be on the show next week, hopefully. Somehow, in some way, you know, things just work out that way.
Yeah.
And for those of you that haven't seen it, it's a wonderful film. Bruce Campbell's in it. You can't go wrong with him. I've seen it. I plan on watching it again between now and then, because I should. And it was good, so I won't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ethan Embry's in it also.
Who? Oh, Ethan. Okay. Oh, cool. All right. Well, I guess that's what we'll be doing the next time. I was just looking it up, and the guy who did the special effects makeup on Black Friday is Robert Kurtzman, who has done a whole ton of stuff as a producer. He did makeup effects on tons of stuff like Boogie Nights, Misery, Fear Street, Evil Dead 2, Vanilla Sky, Gerald's Game, like Halloween 5. He's done makeup effects on everything. Like, this is insane. Like, wow. Body Bags, he did. Yeah, pretty cool. Jason Goes to Hell. Yeah.
So, never saw it.
Yeah, we could talk about that with you never saw Jason Goes to Hell?
I was kidding. Yeah, oh, okay. I was just trying to get a rise out of Mark. I've seen them all. And I watched them in reverse order, remember? Yeah.
He saw it backwards.
They just kept getting better.
All right.
No, but it's going to be a great interview.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be a lot of fun. So, and
looking forward to it. It'll be
perfect Black Friday right before Thanksgiving, too. So
yeah.
All right.
What a coinkydink.
I guess that's it for this time. We will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Joe nailed it on the head. He just wants to ram it in there. It's actually really, really enjoyable.